إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، going to continue inshallah ta'ala reading from the Kitab al-Hajj من الملخص الفقهي لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد الدكتور العلامة صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات وللمتكلم والسامعين والسامعات، آمين. باب في فضل الحج والاستعداد له. We're going to continue as on Monday nights we do the fiqh classes. We're still reading from al-mulakhas al-fiqhi of our noble Shaykh al-Allama Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. And we are in a section of Hajj. Just to remind you, alhamdulillah, the first section is about Tahara. The second section was about the Salat. All what you need to know about Tahara, all you need to know about the Salat. And the third section was about Zakat. And the fourth section was about As-Siyam, fasting. Now, alhamdulillah, we are in the section of Al-Hajj. And this is the third chapter in this section, Fadlu al-Hajj wal-Isti'adu lahu, the virtues of making Hajj. And also how to prepare for Hajj. Because performing Hajj, as we learn, is one of the great acts of worship. Ibadah azimah. Rather, performing Hajj is one of the five pillars of Al-Islam. One of the five pillars of Al-Islam is Al-Hajj. لِمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. The same way we prepare ourselves for Salat, we prepare ourselves for fasting, the Muslims should know how to prepare themselves for Hajj. The Hajj is not just a trip that people pay some money and spend a couple of weeks and come back with a name. Rather, is that trip is upon ibadah, safar ibadah. So we're going to learn, inshallah ta'ala, two things here in this chapter: the virtues of Hajj and how to prepare for it. الحج فيه فضل عظيم وثواب جزيل. The Shaykh says, the Hajj, there is a great benefit and a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who perform Hajj. روى الترمذي وصححه عن ابن مسعود مرفوعا، أي قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة فإنهما، أي الحج والعمرة، ينفيان الفقر والذنوب كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد والذهب والفضة، وليس للحجة المبرورة ثواب إلا الجنة. The Shaykh mentioned first this hadith, he said that it's correct by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and he said this hadith is sound, sahih, an authentic narration on the authority of the great companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He is one of the great companions and the well-learned and the scholars amongst the companions, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wa anhum ajma'in. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, follow the Hajj and Umrah. I mean, those who have the ability to do so. Because both of them, Hajj and Umrah, they wipe out and take out sins, the same way the fire take away any filth and the things that may be attached to gold and to minerals. And that Al-Hajj al-Mabrura has no reward except the Jannah. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi mentioned this hadith like this, but also it was mentioned that his colleague of Imam al-Nasa'i in his Sunan, and also Ibn Majah in his Sunan as well. However, in Sunan in Sahih al-Nasa'i, the hadith stopped at al-Hadith. Ibn Majah, he mentioned two narrations, meaning he divided this one narration that is an Imam al-Tirmidhi, Sahih al-Tirmidhi, in two parts. And the second part is وَلَيْسَ لِلْحَجِّ الْمَبْرُورِ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ, that the Hajj Mabrur has no reward except the Jannah. Anyway, the whole hadith is sahih. By the way, Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, authenticated both narrations. The first one that talks about follow the Hajj and the Umrah, for indeed Allah wiped the sins for those who follow the Hajj and the Umrah. The same way the fire take out the filth and the things that are not a part of the minerals, like gold and silver and the like. He said this part is sahih. Likewise, the other part is sahih, that the hajj that is mabrur, and we learned what hajj mabrur is. We learned in a previous chapter what is hajj mabrur. He said he has no reward except the Jannah. And that's very important for us to remember that, so that we can prepare ourselves to make Hajj. As we mentioned in the previous chapter, making Hajj is not an option. As you see, some people, they're still young, they're strong, and they have money, and they don't make Hajj. They've been to Europe, to Italy, to Paris, I don't know where, to London, they've been to China, the Wall of China, they've been to Africa, Safari, Tanzania, Kenya, Zimbabwe. You've been Hajj, akhi? Oh, no. Why not? What takes precedence? Hajj is a pillar from the pillars of Islam. So making Hajj is not an option whenever you want. Certain people, they think Hajj is only, you got to be 40 and up. Now, once you are able to make Hajj and you have the means to make Hajj, you got to make Hajj, even if you're 17 or 18. Aynam. So who remind us? What did we say? What did we learn together about Hajj Mabrur? What is Hajj Mabrur? Hajj Mabrur, ya akhwan. I'm going to go back and read it for you, so we can read from the book. Where is the Hajj Mabrur? Mustahab? Ahsant. Nah. Keep going. Nah. Alayyin. The Sheikh, he mentioned this. I don't know if he mentioned it before, but the Sheikh is going to mention it again. I thought the Sheikh mentioned it in the previous chapters. He maybe, as he couldn't find it right now. But the Sheikh, he mentioned it here too as well. He says, well, Hajj al-Mabrur, before that, he mentioned another hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari that highlights the virtue of making Hajj. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت نرى الجهاد أفضل العمل أفلا نجاهد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لكن أحسن الجهاد وأجمل حج المبرور. In this hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, because the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the mothers of the believers by the text of the Quran, that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the mothers of the believers. And She said to the Prophet ﷺ, "We know that the jihad is the best of actions. Should we participate in jihad like women?" And of course, we're talking about jihad. We're talking about the jihad that is fi sabilillah, the jihad that is for the sake of Allah, in accordance to al-dawabit al-shar'iyya, according to what Allah legislated. Not like the jihad of the Khawarij. Not like what Daesh, the ISIS, doing right now. Those Khawarij killing Muslims and killing innocent people, and they say jihad. It has nothing to do with jihad. Not like the jihad claimed by Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and them. Yet they say that's jihad, but that has nothing to do with jihad. So they don't fight for the sake of Allah. And they fight Muslims. They kill Muslims. It is from jihad to kill Muslims, to kill innocent people, to bring terror and from all of the evil these people doing. La. But the jihad that is prescribed in Islam, as legislated to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Aisha, she asked, she said, look, jihad is tremendous, it has a great reward. Can we participate? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to her, there is another jihad, something for you that is better than jihad, which is Hajj al-Mabrur. Hajj al-Mabrur. In another narration, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, na'am alaykunna jihadun la qitala fi al-Hajj al-Mabrur. When Aisha radiallahu anha once, also in another narration, she asked, oh Rasulullah, jihad, because they know the importance of jihad and the virtue, if it's for the sake of Allah, not for politics, not for territories or for worldly gain, and they're like, oh, jihad, jihad, they want to put the jihad on there. No. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he said, yes, it is upon you a jihad that involved no fighting. Hajj, subhanAllah. So if the women make Hajj, in according to the Sunnah, as the Shaykh is going to mention, that is good for them. إذن ما هو الحج المبرور يجيبون الشيخ هو الذي لا يخالطه شيء من الإثم وقد كملت أحكامه فوقع على الوجه الأكمل وقيل هو المتقبل. The حج مبرور, the Shaykh says, it is that حج that is not mixed with sins. Person does not sin while he's making this حج. Now you find people making حج while they're smoking. إحرام. لبيك اللهم this Hajj. Find a person before he get in the ihram, he goes and hold the hotel room, the bathroom for 2 hours, shaving his beard. Hajj. That's a sin. People fighting, people cursing, people pushing each other when the bus comes in. What Hajj? These people want for Hajj. People do a lot of things. Backbiting, ghiba. Some people even make the salat. They go in the room and watch TV. Akhi Salat, you go. Gonna pray here, we're traveling. Haram is right there next to them. The hotel, the haram, right there. And many, many other things, Ikhwan. Many other evil. And bid'ah, Hajj, and bid'ah, innovations. They come up with their own ways to make Hajj instead to learn how the Prophet ﷺ performed Hajj. So this Hajj Mabrur, Hajj Mabrur, that there is no sins in it. That's the first thing, no sins. And also, you have to complete its rules and regulations. Meaning everything that is in Hajj, Tawaf, Umrah, Sa'i, Rami, Mabit in Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat, Halq, Ihram, everything you do, Talbiyah, Takbir, anything you do has to be in accordance to what Allah has legislated. Not people making tawaf, but they make a lot of bid'ah in tawaf. People making sa'i, bid'ah in the sa'i. They go to Mina, innovations. Arafat, innovation. Jamarat, innovations. What Hajj is this? And then he come back and they call him Hajji Fulan. If they call him his name, he give man. Come back, Akhi Abdullah. No Abdullah anymore, Hajji Abdullah. They want the name. That's Hajj Mabrur, free of sins, and in accordance to what the Prophet ﷺ left for us. And the ulama, they said this is the hajj that is mutaqabbal, and this is, by the way, the hajj that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hajj, once again, we learn from here, is not just coming up with some money and go there for a couple of weeks and come back. No, person have to keep in mind that there is a great reward. Jannah, ya akhi, Jannah. SubhanAllah. He doesn't get better than this. Can get better than this. You're going for a couple of weeks and the reward is Jannah. In another narration, if a person make Hajj correctly, then he come back from that trip free from sin, like he just came from the womb of his mother. SubhanAllah. Everything is gone. Except, of course, the rights of the people. If he has taken somebody's money or somebody's oppressed somebody, that he has to make it up for those people, of course. So it's not just going there and coming back, oh, I made Hajj, alhamdulillah. No, what did you do in Hajj? That's a trip. It's like someone came to the masjid. I went to the masjid. Did he pray? How did he pray? Did he have wudu correctly? That person's heart and mind was with him in the salat, or just his body but his mind still in the streets? What salat is this? If a person is standing, Allahu Akbar, but his mind where? Running the streets, making plans. When the imam, Allahu Akbar, then he remember, oh, salat, Allahu Akbar. He don't even know what rak'ah is. If the imam prays seven rak'ah of dhuhr, maybe he prays seven. Don't know, because his mind is not here. His heart is not here. Is this person really benefit from his salat? Allah mustahil. Likewise, hajj. Person go for hajj, running from store to another store, from another store to another store, from another area to another area. And on top of that, they don't learn what is hajj, how to perform it according to the sunnah. They just go and follow whatever the people do. They see people kissing the walls of the masjid. They even get to the Kaaba yet. They go and kiss the walls. I say, they kiss anything in there. Because he don't know. But the one who knows the sunnah is like, look. If he's with certain people, they say, hey, people kissing the door. They can't kiss that door. Why not? This is the masjid haram, akhi. We may never come back here. It doesn't matter. The Prophet ﷺ didn't kiss the doors. We don't kiss them. One thing the Prophet ﷺ kissed. What is it? Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone. If you make it to the black stone without harming anybody, you can kiss. You can kiss it. No problem. But nothing else. You don't kiss nothing else. No corner, nothing. But people, subhanAllah, juhad, because they don't know. They see people doing something, and they go and follow the people instead to follow the sunnah. We are commanded to follow the Prophet ﷺ. We're not commanded to follow the people. There is no ayah that says, follow the whatever the people do. No, there is an ayah that says, follow this man, Muhammad ﷺ. طيب. فإذا استقر عزمه على الحج. Now, if a person decides to make hajj, because hajj, especially for us that we're far away from Mecca, yeah, you're not just going to like decide tomorrow, like hajj, guys, tomorrow I'm going for hajj. Now you got to make preparations, because you have to get tickets, airfare, arrange for accommodation. Especially these days, Allah musta'an, the hajj is getting a little bit expensive. You know, 10 years ago, the hajj was much, much lesser than what it is right now. Much, significantly. Whatever reason, Allahu A'lam. But now hajj is, you know, a couple of thousand, ain't not going to get you there. Talking about like 4 grand and up. And that's the lowest. You know, don't go there and tell them, hey, what is the breakfast? What is the big hotel next to the Kaaba? Why you guys put us far away? It's like, this, like your money put you far away, not us. That's how they talk about the language of money now. That's another topic we may get to it another time. So now the Shaykh, he says, if you decide to make Hajj, and you can still do it, because alhamdulillah, these classes come handy. people, they're going to start leaving in a couple of weeks, in 3 weeks from now for Hajj. Some people who have, mashallah, other arrangements, maybe they're already there. They're already there, but they have to wait. They cannot just go there and start making Arafat tomorrow. No, you can't do that. He can go visit Arafat just to see how it is, but they cannot make dua and say, oh, there's one account for me. No. They go make Umrah and wait. And wait until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. We're going to get to that later on, inshallah. So if a person is determined and he decides, says, look, I'm going for Hajj this year, inshallah. What this person should do? قال الشيخ فليتب من جميع المعاصي ويخرج من المظالم بردها إلى أهلها. First thing should come to mind, repent from sins. If you're struggling with anything, and this is not just for someone who making Hajj, this is for all of us to be sincere and to be determined to give up all the bad things we're struggling with. You know why? Because death is certain and tomorrow is not. Death not going to give you another day or another minute or another second. So if someone is 19, ah man, music, yeah, it's haram, I love man. When I before, I switched to Quran. Who told you you're going to be 40? You're going to make a decision now. Young people die. Healthy, strong men and women die. Not always old people and sick people die. Babies died in the wombs of their mothers, man. Strong athletes, they collapse on the field. Right now, strong athletes surrounded by I don't know what, and they collapse on the field. So death is certain, so we have to be prepared. Because when the angel of death, you can say, I have a good heart, wallahi, I have a good intention, give me a couple of weeks, at least a couple of weeks, couple of days, couple of hours. No, you can't do that. Once death comes, cannot push it, cannot run away from it. It's very serious. But anyway, since the Shaykh is addressing the people who are making Hajj, he says the person who is about to make Hajj, he has to make Tawbah. Repent, give up sins, give up disobedience to Allah, stealing, backbiting, cheating, looking at haram, listening to haram, eating haram, drinking haram, sniffing haram, signing haram, pushing haram, anything haram, leave it alone. Sins, leave it haram. Leave it alone. And also, if you have, even this person who's going Hajj, if he's been involved in harming the people in any way, in their wealth, in their blood, in their honor, he has to make it up for them before he goes. He has any property that doesn't belong to him, give it back to the people. Money, give it back or make arrangements. Because the ulama, they mentioned about the deen. If someone has a debt, what does he do? We're going to learn that later on, inshallah. وَيَرُدُّ الْوَدَائِعُ وَالْعَوَارِ وَالْدُّيُونَ الَّتِي عِنْدَهُ لِلنَّاسِ نعم وَيَسْتَحِلُّ مَنْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ ظَلَامَ وَيَكْتُبْ وَصِيَّتَهُ نعم If he has debts, he has to make sure to pay those debts. The ulama, they mention if someone has debts to pay and now he has some money, he cannot just go to Hajj like that. If he doesn't have enough money to pay for debts, we give an example. Let's say the Hajj now, say a package, a regular package is like 4,500 to 5,000. And on top of that, of course, you're not going to go for it, going to go empty, because that 5,000, you give it to the agent right here in America. It's not in your pocket, the agent took it. And what that include? The airfare from here to Saudi back to JFK, not to even Atlanta. If you live in Atlanta, you have to find your way. Well, what are you going to do, walk? People come back from Hajj, you still make it maybe to Virginia. So you need to have some extra money, expenses to make it there and come back from JFK to Atlanta. Then that package, maybe they don't have food. Maybe they are far away from the haram, so you need to take some extra money with you for taxis. And also, you want to go there, you want to buy some books. You know, you're a student of knowledge, inshallah. one of the things that you're going to visit, not just McDonald's. People, the first thing, man, before they go, because they say, oh, these halal, halal, can't, you don't have to worry about the biha, this, that. They make a days. By the way, everything is in there, man. There's IHOP in there, Papa John's is in there, Starbucks, yes, is in there, McDonald's, Burger King, KFC, huh? Krispy Kreme, Dunkin' Donut, name it. Pizza, what? Halal, I don't know about that one. Huh? Akhi, some people make a plan. I'm going to McDonald's this day for dinner. And burger for dinner. Two dinners, three dinners, they just want to get it down, you know. Taste how a burger in halal burger tastes. Okay? And then that's what they do. The next day they have another plan, Chinese, for this halal Chinese and their Pakistani food, Yemeni food, Turkish, Afghani barbecues, man. Those are, and by the way, this food tastes good. But keep in mind, you're not going there for this stuff, right? Alhamdulillah, look at the Salaf that we try to ascribe ourselves to. They went there, they have to take food with them. They have to slaughter a cow or a camel and cook it and gather the fire here if they can find any fire and cook it. And subhanAllah, we, mashallah, just take some extra money. Here is a Burger King right here. Next to it is KFC. Around the corner is a Chinese store. Halal, nice. And we still find people complaining instead of thank Allah. They complain. If the bus come, what? Late. Half an hour, they want to fight. Sahaba, they walked from Medina to Mecca. 4 days. Took them 4 days after walking in. Where walking? Where? Don't walk in the highway with the rest areas. In the desert. In danger. I know. SubhanAllah. So anyway, if someone has debts, for example, someone owes $10,000. And mashallah, he managed to do whatever here and there. He made this $5,000-$6,000. He go hajj? No, he has to pay his debts. The ulama, they answer the question, unless if that person, his debts, he came to an agreement with the debtor that he has like some monthly payments. If somebody said to him, look man, you don't have to give me that $10,000 of it at once. Can you do $200-$300 a month? Yes, $300 is good with me. That's it. So alhamdulillah, that's an agreement. The ulama, they said, as long as that person can keep that agreement, like before he go, give the man the $300, and when he comes back, he already have his $300 for that month, that's okay. If there is no agreement, if the man says, look, I do this agreement with you, but once you get more than $300, give it to me. That person should not go to Hajj. Why? Because he's not able to make Hajj, because he doesn't have the means to make Hajj. He has to pay his debts. Likewise, a person doesn't make some people make some calculations. They take the rent money, and the bills, and the food, and go make Hajj. Who's going to pay the rent? Said Allah, inshallah, tawakkul, tawakkul. His wife said, brother, we want to go to Hajj, alhamdulillah. Or rent. Tawakkul ala Allah. Allah is going to pay the rent this month. Yes, this is how we think. Okay, food. Allah is going to feed you. Georgia, what do they call it? Georgia Power, right? You're from up north too. So. Georgia Power, bill. Allah is going to pay it. Alright. So kids, this diaper, we have kids here. It's okay, inshallah. Allah is going to take care of all that. But ulama says, no, this is not how it is. Of course, Allah, everything is in Allah's hands. But you have to follow the means. You got to tie your camel right or wrong. He's going to go in the desert and let the camel go and say, Allah is going to keep him here? Now you got to tie your camel like they say. And depend on Allah. You don't depend on the rope. You know, Allah sends strong wind, the rope is gone, the camel is gone with it. No, aqil, وتوكل. As one of a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said to him, أعقل ناقتي أم أدعها وأتوكل. Shall I tie my camel or just leave it free and depend on Allah? He said, أعقلها وتوكل. Tie it while depending on Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So if someone say, look, he has 5,000, but that 5,000, 1,000 is for rent, 700 for bills, another 700 for food and this and that, school, I don't know, whatever arrangement, and he's going to go and leave his family like that. This is not how it works in Islam. That's why the ulama, they said that person has to have enough. The sheikh is going to mention it right now. Likewise, from the things he has to write the wasiyah. You're going on a journey, you don't know if you're going to come back or not. Some people, they die in the way. So you write your will. And you know, you write your will and put in the will the important things. طيب. وَلْيُوكِلْ مَنْ يَقْضِي مَا لَمْ يَتَمَكَّنْ مِنْ قَضَاءِ مَا الْحُقُوقِ الَّتِي عَلَيْهِ. Likewise, person, he has some, for example, the trip is going to take him 3 weeks. And during his stay over there, there are certain things that he has to take care of here in his home, like paying the bills, like, I don't know, maybe he has a, he works for somebody, or he has his own business, but he already have people scheduled. Okay, I'm going to come in this next month to do your yard, to do your basement, to do this. He has to find, you know, somebody to do that. He doesn't just leave and people waiting. He went for Hajj. Sheikh, he says he has to find someone who will take care of the thing that he's supposed to take care of. Since he's absent, he's going to be leaving, he has to take care of that. Not in person, but he has to make sure that somebody will do it on his behalf. وَيُؤَمِّنُ لِأَوْلَادِهِ وَمَنْ تَحْتَ يَدِهِ مَا يَكْفِيهِ مِنَ النَّفَقَ إِلَى حِنِ رُجُوعِهِ. Likewise, the Sheikh says, and part of that also, this all a part of a person being able to make Hajj, not just have the money for the package and leave. But he said also, with that, the money that he's going to spend for Hajj package, he should have enough funds to leave behind him for his family. If he's married with children, or maybe his mother live with him and his parents as well, anyone under his care. He has to make sure that they have enough until he comes back to them. Like we say, not to take the rent money, he came back and they're in the street. Just don't worry, I'm going to make dua in Arafat. Pay the rent, akhi, and then make a dua. I just told you. Aynam. وَيَحْرِسْ كَذَلِكَ أَن تَكُونَ نَفَقَتُهُ حَلَالًا. نعم. Likewise, the person, he's going to make Hajj, but the money he's going to use has to be halal, not from haram. That's why the Shaykh, he says, the person should give up the haram. Give all the bootleg, man. Ain't no good. Give the haram. The nafaqa, the money that person is going to spend for Hajj, has to be from means that are halal, not haram. ويأخذ من الزاد والنفق ما يكفيه ليستغني عن الحاجة إلى غيره ويكون زاده طيبا. قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم كما في سورة البقرة. And likewise, he has to take with him enough provision that will suffice him if he goes by himself, or suffice anyone that he's taking with him during the whole trip, from when he leaves his home until he comes back. Why? So that he don't be a burden on others. Some people, they just pay the ticket. Well, I don't know if they still do it, but now there is different. There is others regulations and this and that. But before, people used to do it. I don't know if somebody still can manage to do it. Whatever the case, before, people, they used to manage to get a visa. I don't know how they do it. And a plane ticket. A round trip. That's it. They don't take nothing with them. They make it to Saudi Arabia and they start begging. See people eating breakfast, looks good. Al-Hajj, mabrur, inshallah. Mughur, brother, mughur. Bismillah, Allah. What food is this from India? Oh, I love Indian food. Now he's eating a people's breakfast. He go lunchtime, he passed by people eating lunch. Hajj, mabrur, salam, alhamdulillah. They think they're just making dua for them, and he's like, hey, move over a little bit. They like, okay, because people from Hajj, Bismillah, barakah, barakah, Allah put barakah. Huh? He may even start giving them a hadith. Oh, food for four is for eight. Nah, it's not how it is. Now it become a burden on the people. Oh, give me this. Nah, I have enough money. Actually, the ulama, they says, actually, the person, because Hajj, this trip, you want to get the most of it. It's not just making Hajj. Nah, also, it involves many things. Being good, being nice to the people. Help, if you're still strong and healthy, doesn't matter if you're wrong or not. Some people are in their 50s, they're still strong, 160s. If you're strong, you have a good back, alhamdulillah, good knees, take advantage. People in your group, you say to yourself before even you go, I'm going to make myself available. I'm going to be the last one to get on the bus. I'm going to make sure the elderly go first. My bag is going to be the last one to get on the on top of the bus. Because I want to help those elderly first, you see? I'm the one that's going to do the run-ins, okay? Because over there, like I told you, sometimes people need a Tylenol. An old man couldn't find nothing. So you're the one that's going to supposedly, I said, I'm going to make myself available. I'm going to be around those people, but I'm going to run. If they need something in the pharmacy, I'm the one who's making these runs. I'm the one who's going to run to McDonald's and stay in that long line. You think McDonald's right here, drive-thru, brother? There's no drive-thru. There's no drive-thru in there. In Hajj. You have to wait in a line. Who, what, how long the line? You may be number 500. Sometimes he'd be waiting, akhi, between Dhuhr and Asr, and almost the Asr time, the Adhan is going to, you just get your food. It happened to us many times. Now you just get your food, and you have to keep it somewhere, and you eat it after Asr time. From Dhuhr to Asr, you just wait in a line. Somebody say, why you wait in McDonald's? Go to KFC. Right? Same thing. Same thing. You know why? 1 million+ people, they all want to eat in the same area. What are you going to do now? Patience. But you say, look, these elderly going to stay in the room in the air conditioning. They're not going to go down in an elevator, waiting, walking in the heat, standing for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I will do that for them, you see? And you get reward. Hajj mabrur. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he also says, take extra money with you. Now, if you have the means, take some extra funds with you to help others. If you see someone struggling, put 100 in his hand. Put 50 in the other hand. You may be going with some people and they look and look, subhanAllah, that my son, man, would love that, Allah musta'an. If I only know, I could bring something. And you're like, okay. You know the brother, he's with you. He's gone. You go and buy it and put it in his room. This is for your son, by the way. You don't even know, he's from Tennessee or from here. Never seen that brother, you just met him in Hajj. See, this is Hajj. This is Hajj, not greed. He want to get in the first spot in the bus. He want to be the first one in the bathroom. He want to have them in the nicest spot in the room. And this and that. And you want to get the good out of Hajj. It's only a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and it's going to be over. What did you bring with you? Khair. Now. Anyway, we mentioned this, the Shaykh. He mentioned that you have to have enough. Anyone who's making Hajj has to have enough funds to take care of himself while he's in Hajj. Okay, as for those who they say, look, man, we're going to put our tawakkul on Allah, and once we get there, Allah's going to feed us. The Muslims, they care about each other. Our Muslim brother, they're not going to let us down. Give up all that stuff. Take some money with you and take care of yourself. That's how it is. And don't be a burden on the people. Now, and that what the person's going to eat, and the funds that he's going to use have to be halal as well. Because Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. O you who believe, spend from the pure of that which you have earned. So your earning have to be pure, ya ikhwan, not just for the hajj. But in general, the Muslim earnings has to be pure. And you got to ask this question, whatever job you're doing, whatever business you're getting involved in, how you conduct your transactions, how you deal, how you sell, how you buy, what you sell, what you buy. You have to ask the question, is this is halal or haram? People are cheating, deception, riba, lying, smuggling, bootleg, all of this stuff. Selling haram. And then they're like, no, as long as you make some money, akhi, that's all that matters, to take care of the business. No, the means has to be halal as well. You don't sell haram. Some Muslims sell music, CDs. Some Muslims, they sell, you see them but in the parking lot, some of them. As-salamu alaykum. Well, you keep in mind, you will understand the man is a Muslim because they, some other than non-Muslims, some people who are not nothing. But when they say Muslim, they say, as-salamu alaykum. I got some CDs. You know this man, he may not be a Muslim. Salaikum alaikum. He learned one little thing. When he see a Jew, they tell them, I don't know, I won't even say that. You see, when he see Christian, and when they see Buddhist, he tell them, Buddha kadabara. Alright? Because he want to like make a contact with the people. But sometimes there are people, he said to you like this, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, akhi al-kareem, kayfa haluk? Hey, as Muslim, give you salam. And now he said, so now, yes, you say, akhi, barakah alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and you explain to them, akhi, you know that what you sign is not permissible in Islam, is not good for you. And I've been in some states, I'm not even going to mention the name, and some people even made it, akhi, we know, why you still do it? Ah, man, gotta do it, man, gotta do it. Is that an answer? A man gotta do what a man gotta do. Because people are lazy, they don't want to work. They just want to go around, stay in the neighborhood. They just want to chillax, man, and sit and keep an eye on everything coming in and out the neighborhood and selling some CDs here and there. He don't want to hear haram, halal. He knows the ruling anyway. Maybe many Muslims told him that. Of course, guidance is in Allah's hands. You cannot make people follow the sunnah. But all we do is, we invite the people to the sunnah. Alayyin, the earning has to be halal. Like I said, some Muslim sells t-shirts of hip-hop t-shirts, man. A Jay-Z t-shirt. You're a Muslim. A Jay-Z t-shirt. Man, this is good for you. It's got to look good for you. And you try to sell it to a Muslim? Subhanallah. Pictures on them. Bad slogans on them. Some of them have a cross on them. And still want to sell these things? Why? Because certain people, they don't care. They just want to make some money. How? They don't care. And you don't want to hear that. No, we care, ya ikhwan. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he tells us in Sa'd hadith, in the part of that hadith, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ أَرْبَعٍ. No one's feet will be removed on Yawm al-Qiyamah until that person will be asked about four things. And one of them, عَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. Your earnings, where did you get it from? How did you earn it? And in which you spend it. So you have to be careful how you earn. Once you earn your money halal,
Still, just because your money and halal, you're going to do whatever you want to do with it? No, you still have to spend it in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that way is the way of that Allah has prescribed for us and legislated for us, whether in His book or in the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, a person, this is a vast bab, يعني, of what you sell. Keep in mind that al-asl fi al-buyuh al-halal. When it comes to buying and selling, al-asl, the origin is this halal, to sell anything. Meaning it's halal for you unless we have a proof that is haram. So that's the asl, the ulama they mention, is that in business, it's halal. But once you have a text that says this transaction is haram, this product is haram, we have to stay away from it. And we need to learn. Not only that the product is halal, but also the transaction has to be halal and permissible. Inshallah, that's another chapter. We're going to get to it in here too. Inshallah ta'ala, Bab al-Buyu'. We're going to get to it, inshallah ta'ala. Here we go. Yeah, it's close. After the Hajj, inshallah, we're going to get to it, inshallah ta'ala, maybe in a couple months, inshallah. After the Hajj, Bab al-Buyu'. Alhamdulillah. And we're going to learn some very important principles and points in rulings, regulations, pertaining to transaction and the like.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Now, likewise from these golden advices that this noble Shaykh Al-Walid, Al-Allama Salih Al-Fawzan, Habar Ta'ala, has given us to the Muslims, and especially those who are to make Hajj, says likewise from the very important things, that you have to go with the righteous people. Don't just go with anybody. Says you have to look for a righteous companions. Why? Because a righteous companion who fear Allah and studious and upon taqwa and they keep their eyes on a prize which is paradise, they're going to be a good for you. They're going to help you and assist you on your journey. Especially keep in mind this is a journey of ibadah. You're going to perform an act of worship. So you be with the person who's upon the sunnah. You don't go with the mubtadi'ah. You wanna? They don't even let you get some rest. The whole night, Sufis. You guys don't sleep. Oh, they said, look, we don't come here to sleep. Sleep is in America. But what they're doing is haram, is bid'ah, innovation. Now, you go with the people of Sunnah. Try to find the people of Sunnah because they're going to help you. They're going to teach you the Shaykh says what you don't know. And they're going to remind you when you forget. And they're going to bring you back to the Sunnah if you step out of it. In our terms, they're going to try to help you to get back on the right track. That's what you want to go with. Likewise, he said you have to make sure and verify and check your intention. Why are you going to this Hajj? Are you going to show off just because people, when you come back, call you Hajji Fulan? Or are you going because you now, alhamdulillah, you're thanking Allah who created you and fashioned you in the best form. Now you're going to perform this act of worship so that you keep that in mind and you humble yourself. Nobody should know that you're living. Some people, before they leave, they give a big party. Hajji Fulan. He's not even made Hajj. They even leave the soil. They always call him Hajji Fulan. Even when he go, he's still here. 4 months before he make Hajj. Hajji Fulan, Hajji Fulan, Hajji. Yeah. When he comes back, they have to meet him in the airport with I don't know what. Some even, a'udhu billah, in some areas, they meet them with music and singing, coming from Hajj. And the party were mixing men and women and dancing. This man came from Hajj. They said, no, he came from Hajj. I have to what do you call it? Welcome. Huh? Welcome. Welcome him. Yeah, that's not what I was looking for. Because that's not a welcome. Anyway, Allahu Musta'an. You have to have your intention for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to make Hajj and coming back. That's it. If people don't know, it's better for you. Keep it between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kadhalik qal, the shaykh, one of the most important advices also, that the person should stay away from displaying evil manners and ill etiquette. Sense fighting people, cursing them out, try to fight them, abusing them, pushing them. Whether in a hotel, whether in the street, whether in the jamarat, in tawaf, in this, don't. Humble yourself. Don't push anybody. Don't yell at anybody. But you, those who made Hajj, this is flashbacks. And those who did not make Hajj, and if you make Hajj, you will see. Unless if Allah changed, inshallah, the affairs, and we ask Allah to change the conditions of the Muslims. Don't keep pushing, man. You're in tawaf, and somebody's nose broken because somebody punched him. And we've seen fights breaking tawaf in Arafat. You think these people can make Hajj for real? Me personally, a'udhu billah, I saw we were in Arafat at night time, we were waiting for the buses. And these people, they were from Africa. I'm not going to say the country, but they were from Africa. And they were in this bus. Okay? They were in the bus. But I don't know, for whatever reason, another group from Africa too, they were like, no, this is our bus, you took it, this. Two guys, strong guys, they were there and they were throwing people literally out of the bus. Literally, in Ihram. These are people, they were just standing in Arafat, Ya Allah, Jannah, forgive us. They were literally throwing people out of the bus. Literally. I have some brother, they were strong brother, man, from the States. They're like, oh, Muhammad, we're going to go take care of it. I said, okay, this is Hajj. The police is coming, shall you see them? And take care of nothing. I have some brother, they were very mad. We all were mad. But look at the mentality of these people. Sheikh says, no, you gotta humble yourself. You don't fight. People push you, smile. Lead the way. Be patient. Because that's how you're gonna get the more reward, inshallah. Likewise, you, wherever you go buy food, don't push people. If you're pushed, smile and be patient. Because you have to protect your Hajj. Likewise, you go to buy something, alhamdulillah, it's not a part of Hajj, but you want to buy something for your kids, for your family, mashallah, your friends, whatever. Likewise, people pushing you, or somebody want to cheat you, don't Don't start fighting, you forget. Don't forget that you are not in America. Even the Muslim should display himself in a good manner, whether you're in Hajj or not. But since we're talking about the Hajj, you're a Hajji, as they call them, you know, you're going to make Hajj, you have to behave. Don't let the crowd pull you to that which is not good for you. Okay? Learn how to dodge. You know, people push you, smile, and correct them if you can. Hajj. Alhamdulillah. Maybe he learned from you. Likewise, that you have to guard your tongue from fighting, from abusing others, slandering, from lying, from backbiting. And in general, you have to protect yourself and guard yourself from everything that is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that is despicable in our deen, you stay away from it. Because now you're there to make Hajj, to perform a great act of worship. And you want to come back with this great reward that you be from the people of Jannah, and Allah forgive your sins, not to come up with more sins. وَلَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and assist those who are making Hajj this year to make their Hajj, inshallah, enjoyable and easy for them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them until they come back to their loved ones. And may Allah reward the government of Saudi Arabia for all of what they do for the pilgrims, alhamdulillah. Jazahumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad ala alihi. Wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslima kathira.